Good morning to you all, and it's really nice to be back here in Raleigh Street. This has been our base church for Liz and I for probably more than 35 years, and it's nice to look around and see some people that we've seen before and some new faces. Maida and Nathan, I see you there. We currently fellowship at a small Māori church at based on a marae at Taufari, just a little bit north of Cambridge. Liz comes along here regularly for the Women's Connect. We spend maybe 3 months or 3 to 4 months a year traveling with the distributing materials for Māori Postal Aotearoa, a lot of which are bilingual. Luke here is a part of that as well. I just want to acknowledge the great support that this church has given to Liz and I for many, many years. And we're very grateful for that. Prayer support, at times financial support. And it's been a real blessing to us. I guess we are missionaries at heart, but this church has always been there for us. So we thank you for that. One of the things that I have picked up since we've been at our Māori church, which I quite like, is the idea that before anything begins, there's an acknowledgement of the Lord. And I like that. And I just wanted to very briefly do that, just from a Revelation chapter 5, verse 13, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Amen. So we just begin with that acknowledgement of the Lord, and as I understand it, we're continuing on with a series based on the Lord's Prayer and on prayer in general. I'll just put up, it's working, good. And so I just wanted to put up here before I get to the verse that verses I'm to talk about this morning. And the Lord's Prayer, as you read on the screen there, it just begins in this way. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I really like the way that the Māori version of that adds a little word in there, and the word Kia, K-I-A, which sort of means let or something like that. And so when you read that verse there, it would come, our Father in heaven, let your name be holy. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I like the thought there. It seems to me just to add a little layer, perhaps, of reverence to what's being said there. The other thing to note there is that when Jesus put this before us as a model prayer, he begins with an acknowledgement of the Father. If we go to this verse here, which is the verse that I'm to speak on this morning, we read there, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And just the first thing I wanted to say there, at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, it acknowledged God, the Father. At the end, or just depending how you read it, just after the end of the Lord's Prayer, there is this statement here that is to do with the relationship between people. Forgive one another. And I think it reflects what Jesus said when he was asked about the greatest of all commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And I see that reflected in the beginning and the end of the Lord's Prayer. There. The other thing that comes up to me when I look at this verse, there are the two verses that are up on the screen there, is this, what does this really mean? What do these two verses really mean? Does it mean that my salvation is dependent on the level or attitude I have towards forgiveness? And I just want to say, while I'm not 100% sure what these verses mean, what I do know is that my salvation does not depend on my level of forgiveness. When I became a Christian about 40 years ago, not quite 40 years, nearly 40 years, when I became a Christian, the understanding that I had was that God had forgiven all of my sins, past sins, present sins, and those I'm about to commit later today. And so that when I take that, I take John chapter 10, where I'm, I'm assured that my salvation is not conditional on anything I do. I take that and I look at these verses and I think, these verses are not related to my salvation. They're related to the way I live as a Christian. And so this morning I wanted to take that and think about how we can delve a little bit deeper into our understanding of forgiveness. You see, in my view, knowledge of the Scripture is very, very helpful in our Christian life. Understanding the detailed meaning of verses and passages in the Scripture, that's very helpful, very useful in our Christian life. But to me, more important in living the Christian life is how do we apply the knowledge and the meaning of Scripture into our own life. And I think that's something we need to think about when we come across a verse like this, which doesn't make a lot of immediate sense. And so what I wanted to do this morning was do something that I've perhaps follow a bit of a theme here, which would be like a reset on forgiveness, or a reset on what we understand as forgiveness. I want to talk about three or four things, and excuse me, as I think about those. As I think about those, what I'm thinking is that we can rethink, reset our attitude, our understanding to forgiveness, and then maybe we could come back to our verses at the end of that verse. If you do not forgive men their sins. Your Father will not forgive your sins. I'd like to just do a reset and come back, or maybe leave you to come back to that. So the first thing I wanted to turn to is this here. It's in Colossians, and it's chapter 3.
It's a warm one,
though. We don't get warm water at Tofari. In fact, we couldn't even get our stove to go for a long time. And I better be careful of wasting time here. I think we overused it, because on our prayer nights, the ladies would go into the kitchen, but because it was cold in the kitchen, they put the stove on, open the door, and use it as a heater. And I think it might have overdone things. thanks, Jeff, for the warm water. In our reset, I just wanted to go here to Colossians chapter 3. And read these verses, read the verse here, the end of which is on the screen. Bear with each other, Colossians 3, verse 13. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. I want to just focus on that last little bit. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And think about what that means. When I think about, excuse me, I'm going to have some warm water. When I think about what it means for the Lord, what it means that the Lord has forgiven me, I think about a few things, and one of them is the extent of His forgiveness. And that means that if I go right back to Adam and Eve, and I go right forward to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when He comes and His feet touch the Mount of Olives. When I look at that extent, and I think of the sin of Adam, and I think of every single person born in this world since Adam, right up until the time of the second coming, and all of those sins put together, I marvel at the extent of the forgiveness of God that came through Jesus Christ. Because that forgiveness was sufficient, even if every single person from Adam to Christ gave their heart to the Lord, there would have been sufficient and more forgiveness. That's a part of the forgiveness that God has given to us. I also think of the power of that forgiveness. And when we think about that, of course, we inevitably think that Jesus Christ died on the cross. And when God sent His Son, He understood the infinite value of the life and the death and the resurrection of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The infinite value of that. The infinite power of that was enough to forgive the sin of every single person who was born into this world. Now, I know that not every single person will put their trust in Jesus Christ, but the power of forgiveness was there. That's a part of, as the Lord forgave us. I just think of the cost. God looked down to His Son on this earth. This is my Son whom I love. The love of God, which in itself is infinite, was a part of the forgiveness of God. That was the cost to God. I also looked at it, and I think of my own, applying it to my own life, that when I became a Christian, this burden was lifted off me. All of that sin, those first 40 years of my life, the burden of the guilt of that sin was lifted off me. More than that, For me, and for you, who, when you put your trust in Jesus Christ, God puts that sin in some place in his mind where it will never, ever be held against me again. Never come up against me ever again. And you might think, well, not too sure that that's logical or sensible or rational or fair. And I think I'd agree. It's not. But that's the grace of God. It's very different. We work under a whole different system, the grace of God. So when it comes to forgiving, as the Lord forgave me, it sets something of a model for how we should forgive other people. If we think reset number two, I just wanted to bring up this verse here from Mark chapter 12. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And I wanted to bring up, excuse me, two things here. Firstly, when we read this verse, we read in there and understand in there the second part, love your neighbor as yourself. That this points us to the fundamental understanding and meaning of what it means to live as a Christian. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's fundamental to Christianity that it is based, filtered through, our life is filtered through relationship. And the two relationships that are the priorities in our life are these. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Christianity, or living as a Christian, has little meaning unless it's based on, filtered through these two relationships. The other thing about this is, so that has quite a bearing on forgiveness. But the other thing about this is, these two relationships are love relationships. Love the Lord your God, love your neighbor. And when it comes to loving your neighbor, I don't know about you, but at times I think it's a difficult ask for me. I don't particularly like that person. I'm offended by what he or she has done. I'm convinced that what they have done is offensive to the Lord. I think it's unreasonable. I think it's unfair that I should forgive that person. And then I think, how do I get around that? And I think it's a little bit in the understanding of the love that is required of us. You see, this is a love that means we know this person, we know their offense, we know what they have done, we don't particularly like them or what they've done, but we are obliged to pray for them, and we are obliged to want the very best for the outcome of their life. That maybe is one of those things that's sort of, if you're in the computer world, it's a workaround, a little bit. But I think that's what the Lord means. He wants us to want the very best for that person.
And I think too, when we think about that, and we think, well, that's pretty difficult. And I think Rob had a verse up there before, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Before we... let me think. How did the first bit go, Rob?
While,
that was the word I wanted. God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So that was what Christ did to achieve the forgiveness that we needed in order to come into the family of God. Maybe that helps when we think, how am I going to forgive this person? I don't want to go into this, but I have a personal regret when it comes to forgiveness. A very serious offense relating to our family. And I did not come out of that particularly well. The only thing I'll say is the person who gave the offense died before I got to forgive him. I don't know whether I would have forgiven him, even so. I don't want to talk about that. If you want to ask me about it afterwards, perhaps, yeah, I could talk about it. I just want to go on here, and this is what a third principle, if you like, and it's what I call the overflow principle. And if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'll just read the verses that are related here, and think in your mind, overflow. And this is what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. You see the principle there, that God pours out his comfort on us. We go through difficult times in our lives. The comfort is poured out on us. And God does not just pour out enough comfort for that trial. He pours out more than we need in order that we can take that comfort, not lock it up, but pour it out onto other people. That's that thought there. My second thought comes in our Colossians verse that I've read out before, but there's just the thought here, forgive as the Lord forgave you, that comes at the end in verse 15 there. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. There's that same thought. God poured out his forgiveness on you and I. He did not intend that forgiveness just to stop at the end of this body here. He intended that that forgiveness should be passed on to other people, because the forgiveness is an overflowing forgiveness. It's not just a miserable amount that would just be enough for us. It's an overflow. There's that thought there in forgiveness. And thirdly, I just wanted to read a couple of verses from 1 John. And it says this, and this is this principle of overflow, and it says this. Chapter 3 of 1 John says this. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us. There's the word lavish. It's a funny sort of a word to have in the Bible. And but the thought is, God has poured out his love on us so that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. And then it comes to verse 11 in 1 John chapter 3. Verse 11 says, this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. You see the principle, the overflow principle there, that the love of God flows to us and out to other people. And verse 16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. There's the action side there that comes up down in verse 18. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. And so there's the thought there. There's this principle, I think, of overflow when it comes to forgiveness. And we take that, and we are not to hold on to that and keep it to ourselves. It is to be poured out on other people. I don't want to say anything about this much, but I'll just say sometimes there is somebody who irritates us. It wasn't a joke. But anyway, getting back to it, Adele, thank you. Sometimes there'll be someone who irritates us. They might be sitting down the back there, and they're forever standing up, walking around and sitting down again. And you're trying to concentrate on the worship, and next minute up they pop and they walk around, they sit down again. And I read this verse and I say, bear with each other. And I think there are times when we have got to decide, is this something that I just bear with? It's not serious enough to take any further to address. And sometimes I think in forgiveness, we've got to think about that principle, that is this serious enough or do I bear with it? Is it a little bit more serious and I need to do something about it? Matthew chapter 18, if you want to follow that up. Then finally here, there is this what I've called the choose to principle. And here's the verse, if anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. And I just want to say, this was a verse that for me, when I became a Christian, or before I became a Christian, was really, really important to me. I had no idea about Christianity. I didn't know how I could get something like faith. I didn't even understand what that was. I'd been along to a gospel meeting or two and that sort of thing. I'd heard the gospel. I knew the process. And I came to this verse in John chapter 7, and I thought, this is for me. What it said to me was, if I choose to become a Christian, God will confirm that I've done the right thing. Now, I'm on the margins of taking a verse out of context here, but I think I'm okay to take the meaning. Because what I found was that I became a Christian, and God has never stopped confirming to me that what I did was the right thing. That's the choose to principle. So when it comes to forgiveness, I think what we find is that it's not always a very natural thing for us. It's not something that seems reasonable. Sometimes it doesn't seem fair, certainly not deserving. But what we know is that to forgive is the right thing to do. That's the will of God. So if we read the verse, if anyone chooses to forgive, what they will find is God will confirm that they have done the right thing, however difficult that might have been. Just want to, make that point. So just briefly summarizing. So we can... when we reset our understanding and application of forgiveness, it requires prayer and it requires careful thought. I think the two are required. Secondly, we remember the forgiveness that we have received from the Lord. We put that into our reset. Thirdly, we consider that Christianity or Christian living is founded on love and relationship, or if you like, love relationships. Fourthly, the forgiveness of God should overflow to others. And we understand, forgive as the Lord forgave. Yes, it is right to forgive. Fifthly, we pray and we think. We bear with, or maybe we don't bear with. Think about that. We choose to forgive. We put that, we know that is the right thing to do. It may not be natural. It may not be fair or anything like that. What we know is it is right. And I just wanted to finish with that thought that I began with in acknowledging the Lord. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Amen. I'd just like to finish with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow before you and think of your model prayer for us. Lord, we acknowledge you. But when it comes maybe to forgiveness, Lord, we're not always up to the mark. Lord, we just pray. We commit our lives, our living as a Christian to you. Lord, we thank you for who you are, what you've done for us, the privilege of being in your family. And we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much, Norman. That gives us lots to think about. We would like to finish our service with the song, Lord, I Need You, which we have been doing for the last few weeks. And